to the Old Testament with me this morning. I want to go to the book of Ezekiel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Ezekiel. No, that's not right. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 47. And I want to talk about the river of revival with you as we continue to consider the fact that we are a people of God's purpose, a people of his presence, and a people of his power. And my prayer today is that each of us would get a small glimpse and maybe a large glimpse of the enormity of the blessing that God wants to send into each of our lives. Now, you might define that blessing in different ways than God does, but God has something good for you, something that will bring life to you, hope to you, help to you, and we're going to look at that together. The book of Ezekiel is a prophetic book. Now, when you read the Bible, you want to be able to read it naturally. Understand why I didn't say literally. There are literal parts of the Bible, but not everything is to be taken, quote, literally, in the sense that some words, some things are poetic. And when you read poetry, you read it different. Like, for instance, in the Song of Solomon, Solomon is telling his bride how beautiful she is, and he says, "Your hair is like a flock of goats." Okay, that, I don't know if that must have meant something in that day. Like, that must have rang a bell, you know? Your neck is like an ivory tower with shields on it. Like, you understand that that wasn't a literal description. He was using poetic language. So when we read poetry, we interpret it that way. When we read narrative, literal narrative, then we read literal narrative, and we take it literally. So a good way to understand, a simple principle for reading the Bible is, when the plain sense makes good sense, don't make nonsense. Right? Just when the plain sense, if it's poetry, read it as poetry. When it's narrative, read it as narrative. When it's allegory, read it as allegory. We are in a prophetic book today, and so we're going to get a prophetic image of something that is related to something else. We're going to get a picture of a river that is flowing. And this river is not for us to be taking it literally in only that sense, but to see it in a figurative way today. So go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. And I just want to ask the Lord for his grace now. Lord, thank you that you open the eyes of our heart to see and you help our heart to believe. I pray for every friend who is here in this sanctuary, those that are watching online, that you will impart in this time something from your spirit, not that which comes from man, but comes from the throne of God, and that hope and faith and life will be given to us in these moments as we open your holy word. We believe it, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel 47, beginning at verse 1, the prophet says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water." Notice this emphasis on water. There was water running out on the right side. "And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that no one could cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed." The prophet Ezekiel is talking to us about the enormity of the blessing of God that comes to us through Christ by way of the Holy Spirit. But he's also talking about what is within the heart of each and every one of us. There is a longing inside the heart of every person for something eternal. There is a cry, a yearning in the spirit man of every person for something that is beyond themselves. There's a quote from C.S. Lewis that I want to share with you. He writes, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. We were made for something more than we are able to perceive or receive by our five senses. This famous quote comes from the church father Augustine. He says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Isn't that a powerful word? You made us for yourself, Lord, and we are restless until we rest in you. God made every person with a Christ-shaped void in their life, and they will be restless until he, the missing piece, finds his way into their life. There is a longing inside of you that is not just natural, it's eternal. In the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, "God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he put eternity in their hearts." He put eternity in the heart of every person. A longing to live forever. A longing to live beyond this life. A longing to live in something fuller even in the midst of this life. There is an innate, inbred knowledge that there is something more than you and I have already tasted of. Something more than we can perceive or receive by our five senses. There is an inner craving. There is an inherent longing in the heart of every person. And that's why they're going through life searching and trying to plug something in, trying to fill the void, trying to find the answer. There's a phrase that comes from Psalm 42 that speaks to this longing. You might remember this psalm. It's the one that talks about the genuine spiritual thirst that every one of us have. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Or when shall I see the face of God? When will I be in the fullness of your presence?" The psalmist is talking about this cry in his heart, this longing, this desire for more, for more, for more. But notice verse number 7. This is the phrase I'm talking about. Psalm 42 and verse 7. "Deep calls unto deep. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me." Deep calls unto deep. The deep things in God call to the deepest places of our heart. The deepest part of our life calling us to experience who he is. Some of us experience him very young. Praise the Lord. My wife came to know Jesus as a child. There was never a time that she can remember that she didn't love Jesus. I had to come the hard way. I had to go through a lot of other things and try to plug other stuff in, hoping to find what she had all her life. And see, it's not so much what any of us got delivered from, it's more important what we get delivered into. And we have been delivered into God's life and into his fullness. And deep calls to deep. The deep things of God calling you and calling me. In fact, the Apostle Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." The infinite, eternal God calls you and calls me into a personal, intimate relationship with him. And it's never stagnant. It's never stifled. It never ends. It never comes to conclusion. We are always on this journey to know him more and more and more. Now, if you're outside of Christ, if you've never really come to know him yet, then you're probably like me and like everyone else, where you go through this world trying to satisfy that spiritual hunger or quench that eternal thirst or silence the intense inner craving by some other means. You try to plug something in. For some, it's like material wealth or finances or success in life. For others, it's attaining positions, you know, of prominence. You know, they climb to the top of the ladder and they find out the ladder's up against the wrong wall, right? And they're like, this didn't satisfy me. Or, you know, they're in the rat race and they win. But the only problem is if you win a rat race, you're still a rat. Like, you don't get that. You understand, like they're doing everything they can do. Some are filling their life with amusement or pleasure. Others are numbing the emptiness inside of them, whether it's through sex or drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, to try to just numb themselves out. And a host of other addictions that we could look at. But when it's all said and done, there is a missing piece. And that missing piece is Christ and Christ alone. He is the one that fills the void. Thank God there is a transformation that occurs when we come to know him. The emptiness is filled. The restlessness becomes peace. The darkness is turned to light. The inner turmoil is replaced by a settled knowledge that I have found and I believe and I am God's child. Yet, even those of us who know the Lord will testify that even though we know him, there is still this longing to know him more. The Apostle Paul says this in the book of Philippians. After 30 years of serving God, he says, my desire is that I would know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. It's not that our salvation in Christ isn't sufficient or satisfying. There's no greater step that a person could take. There's no greater gift that a person can receive than the gift of eternal life that comes to us in knowing God. But we recognize that even when we take that step, it's not an end, it's an entrance. It's not a goal, it's a gateway into a life of living with God, of living for God, of enjoying intimacy with the Lord, and going on and pressing on to know the Lord and the things of God. And for those who have begun such a journey, we continue to hear that beckoning call of God. Deep calls unto deep, more and more and more. I have that cry inside of me. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? I just want to know him. I just want to know him more. I just want to press in. I want to press on. I'm not satisfied. I'm not complete. There's more. And so today, as we go into Ezekiel 47, I want to show you this progression of how this prophet, this man of God, continued to go deeper into the things of the Lord as an encouragement for each of us. So in Ezekiel 47 at verse 3, you recall that the prophet accompanies a heavenly guide. We're not told who this is, but this individual has a long measuring line, a sounding line, a depth finder, if you will, and they are going to measure the depth of the river from one point moving forward and continuing and stopping every so often and taking a measurement, gauging the progress of the river. And Ezekiel is given the privilege of recording the soundings that are taken. As we look at our text, it uses the word cubits. Now, we have inches and feet and yards. One of the Bible terms is this word cubit. So a cubit, think of it this way, a cubit was the distance between a man's elbow and the tip of his middle finger. So from here to here, that was one cubit, about 18 inches on a grown man. So when he's measuring, he's talking about, when it says 1,000 cubits, we're talking about roughly every 1,500 feet. So Ezekiel is at the beginning, and they go 1,500 feet, and they drop the sounding line, and it goes, and the water at that point is up to the ankles. They go another 1,500 feet, and they measure, and now the water is up to the knees. They go another 1,500 feet, and Now the water is up to their waist. Now they go another 1,500 feet, and there is an abundance of water. It's too wide to jump across. It's deep enough to swim in. And so think about this. There are not many rivers in the world that have waters deep enough to swim in a little over a mile from their source. So the source of this thing is incredible. Whatever is, wherever this is coming from, it goes from a trickle to a torrent in about 6,000 feet. And what God is saying to us in this passage of Scripture is, do you understand the enormity of the blessing that I have in store for you? Do you understand that God is not just, you know, a thimbleful for you and a measuring cup for you? And here's a little sip, and here's a measuring cup I can afford. No, what God is trying to show us is that whatever this river is growing with such force and continuing to expand at such velocity that within about a mile, you're deep enough to swim in. So let's look, first of all, at the source of this river in Ezekiel 47. Notice verse 1 again. He says, he, this is that heavenly escort, brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. And for the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. The river has its source in the temple of God, in the sanctuary, in the presence of God. God is the source of this river. It's not man-made. It's not man-generated. It's coming from the Lord. And it passes under the threshold, past the altar, and outward in this steadily increasing force. The river is coming from the presence of God. There, I want to say this for your heart today. There's a river, whether you know it or not, there's a river flowing in this room today. There is a river of God available to each and every one of us. There is a river that's available that doesn't come from a pastor or a priest or a preacher or a prophet. It comes from God himself, from his presence. And he says, I hope you understand the enormity of the blessing that I have for you. I'm not just divvying it out. A little dabble do you. No, I have a resource, and I am the source of this that will flow to you. And you don't have to fear today. You don't have to say, well, I don't know what I should do. This God is pretty big, and he seems to be kind of scary. I want to say to you today that this river is a holy river. It's a pure river. God does not have any impure motives whatsoever. God never had an impure thought in his life. He never has wished any evil upon anyone. Or has he ever tempted to do evil? I want to read a number of scriptures in succession, and I just want them to wash over you right now. I just want you to hear these words and hear the heart of God toward you. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. I love that double negative there. No darkness. That would have been enough. In him there's no darkness. But the emphasis is no darkness. No, none at all. Like underscore that. Listen to this. Psalm 84 and verse 11. Receive these words. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. From James chapter 1 and verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Matthew 7:11. We used this last week. Everybody say, oh, thank heaven for 7:11. 7:11, Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? You see the enormity of the blessing. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, I think about this. We've raised three boys. We had our grandkids this couple days this week, and all merrily my ears are just ringing with Mama, Papa, Grammy, Papa, Papa, Grammy. You know, it's just, it's in there. I can't stop it now. It's just bouncing around. But I can remember as a young father when one of my kids was sick, and I remember saying, praying like this, God, like, make me sick instead of them. As if, first of all, God was making anybody sick, which was wrong. But then I was like, I was kind of thinking this, like, God only has so much healing to give. He only can heal so many people. So the way he'll do it is he'll keep healing from one person to give it to another. You hear how twisted that is? I'd be like, well, God, you don't have much to offer. So, okay, I'll be the one to suffer, you know. And God is trying to break that off of us today, that mindset. And he's trying to say, do you understand the enormity of the blessing that I have available to you? How much more? And look at this scripture. Will he not freely also give us all things? Like, God is not stingy. Right? He's not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. Right? He's got more for you. He has more for me. And so this source is God himself. And notice what it says in Ezekiel 47 and verse... Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. This vision that he has, this source of life, is where we were last week. I'm putting stones in as we're building our life together. And last week we heard Jesus cry out in John 7 and verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus says, I'm the source. I'm God. You come to me and just let this river come through you and flow, as Eric said, out to the others outside of here that need to know the Lord. Go with me now, Ezekiel 47 once again. I want you to notice that this river flows by way of an altar. Chapter 47 and verse 1. He brought me back to the door of the temple, the presence of God, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. The abundant life that you want, the abundant life that I want, the abundant life that we're seeking flows by way of the altar. It comes from the sacrificial heart of God. It comes from Jesus, the one who gave his life for you and gave his life for me at the altar of Calvary. The river, as we saw last week, John 19 and verse 34, when the side of Jesus was pierced with a spear, immediately came blood and water in this flow. And what was a trickle at that day there at Calvary throughout the years has become a steady rising stream. A point of our day, the blood has become a flood of redemption across the globe. Millions and millions of people are coming to know Jesus. The wounds of Calvary, ever-increasing river of life for you and for me. So look with me again, Ezekiel 47. We understand the source of the river. Let me show you the sufficiency of it. Ezekiel 47 and verse 6. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, the waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, whenever, wherever the river goes, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. I'm going to say that last phrase again. And everything will live wherever the river goes. Would you just put your hand on your heart for a moment? Say, God, let that river flow in me right now. You said that everything will live wherever this river flows. The river comes from your presence. The river flows from the altar of Christ the sacrifice for our sins. The altar issues forth this river that flows, and wherever the river flows, there will be life. Everything shall live where the river goes. Everything you and I need today comes from the river of God, flows from the presence of God. Our eyes look to Him today. Notice verse 12 again, what this adds to the story. And along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. For they will bear much fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for medicine. So in this picture of this prophetic picture of the river of blessing that's coming from God, on the riverbanks now blossomed are all kinds of fruit trees, and the fruit was good for food and the leaves were good for healing. So the picture is that all of our sustenance is found in the river of God, coming from the presence of God, coming through the altar of Christ, coming from Him alone, the source. Everything we need for life and godliness is found in Him. And there is blessing that comes in sustenance, that comes in healing, that comes in our life. Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse number 8, it goes down to the desert areas. He said to me, this water flows through the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. And this is, by the way, standing where the prophet would be. He's talking about the Dead Sea. It goes into the Dead Sea, and when it reaches the Dead Sea, its waters are healed. The flow of God's Spirit can touch, listen, the dead and dry and dusty places of your life. The places that you think God can never reach in you, He can do that. That water is so powerful. That river is so strong. If you have any dead place in your life, say to God today, God, let the river of life touch that area inside of me. Whether it's spiritual or emotional or mental or physical or financial or relational, God, say, there's some dead places that need to come back to life. And I pray the river of life will come and touch every single one of them. In verse number 8, this river flows to the Dead Sea. Now, we know the Dead Sea, if you've ever been to Israel and seen it yourself. And a lot of people, when they go to the Dead Sea, they like to float. They like to just go in there and hang out. It's got 25% plus mineral content. Most water is about 4%. And so it's just so salty and so filled with all kinds of minerals that nothing can live in it. There's no fish. There's no aquatic life. In fact, if you look at a map of Israel, the Jordan River comes down through the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is teeming with fish. The water comes in and the water goes out, but the water stops at the Dead Sea. It takes in, but it never gives out. That's a recipe for death. If you're always receiving and never giving, you're never ministering to somebody else. You're never using the gifts. You're just receiving all the time. It's never going to bring forth the life that you're supposed to bring forth. But here we see it. The Dead Sea becomes a living sea with all kinds of aquatic life and fish. And so the word again comes to us. Do you have any dead places in your life? Then let the river of God flow into those areas. The river that issues from the throne of God has dominion over anything it touches. The sufficiency of the water is evidenced here in this scripture. The barren becomes fruitful. The dry becomes nourished. The empty becomes filled. The bitter becomes sweet. The unhealthy is healed. And the dead is made alive. How many know this is not just talking about some river someday in a millennial kingdom? It's talking about the river of God that's flowing right here and right now, and that's available to each of us. That river's available. You say, "Well, I don't want to go in because you know I don't want to take it from somebody else." No, there's more than enough. You don't have to say, "Well, I won't," so somebody else can. He says, "All of you, whosoever will, let him come." Right? Look at the size of this river, and I'll be wrapping up in about Who give me 5 minutes? Just 5 minutes. Someone? 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. We're good. I'm good. The size of the river, right? We saw the source. We saw the sufficiency. Now we have the size. So they measure the depth every 1,500 cubits, and they're watching the river rise. At first, it's trickling out for under the threshold from the presence of God. Soon, it becomes a flow and a continuous stream, and by the time they get to the fourth measurement, it's a raging flood. Notice Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 3 and 4. Notice this phrase, "He brought me through the waters." He brought me through the waters. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, next part, and he brought me through the waters. He uses this phrase three times in this same verse, and verse 4. He uses this, "He brought me through." What is that saying? That it is never, there's never a stopping point in your growth in God. You're never supposed to reach the place where you cap out. You're never supposed to reach a place where you say, "Well, I'm there. I've attained. I'm satisfied." No, no, no. You have eternity in your heart, and it's deep is calling unto deep. And God is saying, "Everything you've experienced so far, wonderful, great. But do you understand the enormity of the blessing that I have in store for you? Why do you stop at ankle deep water? Come out a little further. Come out a little further." And you go out there and you're up to your knees. Sometimes we go into our knees and we understand, oh, prayer and intimacy. And we're like, "Oh, this is beautiful. This is wonderful. I didn't know this existed." And God says, "Great, don't forget that, but come out a little bit deeper." And we move out into our waist and we're like, "Whoa, this is great. I'm in the deep parts now." God says, "You're not even halfway there." You know, we'd like to have our feet on the ground in ankle-deep water or knee-deep water or waist-deep water. Why? Because we're still in control. I can always get out if I have to. I can always back up. I'm getting wet. Let's not be satisfied to go into ankle-deep water and splash each other and say, "Wow, isn't the river cool?" When God is saying, "Come on. Come on out. Come on out. The water's fine. You know, just come on. I want to get in over my head. It's scary, I know. You know, I love when somebody looks at me and go, "Oh my goodness, he's going under. Hallelujah. He's going under. Yes." How many want to go under? Like, just let God just do what God wants to do and let the river flow over us. But we know, I don't. I have to be able to get out if I have to. And God says, "Why would you want to? There is no impure motive in me. I'm not setting you up for destruction. I'm not setting you up for calamity. I'm setting you up for blessing." The Jeremiah passage, we all know, Jeremiah 29. "I know the thoughts that I think to your view, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, that I might bring you to an expected end. I might bring you to a future destination." God says, "There's more, there's more, there's more." And even when we get in the river, that's the time finally where our feet are up. And we're no longer in control, and we're caught in the current of God's love. We're just caught in the current of God's Spirit. We're just caught in what God wants to do in us and through us. We don't want to be satisfied in the shallows of life. We don't want to be hanging and hugging the shoreline. We don't want to just take a sip when God says there's a river. You know, we want to go in all the way. I remember this little girl and her brother, and the little girl at nighttime would go to bed, and every night she would fall out of bed. She'd fall out of bed, fall out of bed. And her little brother would come into the room, and she'd be on the floor. And she said, "I don't know what's wrong. I fall out of bed every night." And he said, "Well, maybe if you don't stay so close to where you got in. Maybe if you don't stay so close to where you got in. Like, move in a little bit more. The bed is big. There's room for you." I want to say the river is big and the river is deep. Some of you have served the Lord for decades and you can testify today. It's a whole lot deeper than I knew. The river of God, listen, is I think it was Augustine who said it. It's safe enough for a baby to play and it's deep enough for an elephant to swim. The river of God is available to each of us here. Let's not be content with a surface relationship. Listen to this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. It tells us that God reveals himself through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. And deep is calling to deep. The Holy Spirit's like calling you. Don't be satisfied. You've accepted Christ. Wonderful. That's life eternal. But press on to know the Lord. When you're ankle deep, there's still a lot of you that can be seen. You're the one that people notice, but you go deeper and deeper into things of the Lord. You begin to disappear, and he begins to become more and more prominent. Now, this vision ends with a sad statement in chapter 47 and verse 11. I want you to see it. I want to be faithful to the text. It says, but its swamps and its marshes will never be healed, and they will be given over to salt. Again, the idea of the Dead Sea was so much salt content that nothing could live. The prophet marks the flow of this powerful river and records over and over and over and over and over the wonderful life-imparting effects this river has. He's saying, come in, the water's fine. Come in and experience the blessing of God. But he also notes that there are places where the river is unable to bring blessing. And he calls it the miry places and the marshes. He says, the miry places, the swamps and the marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Here's what he's saying. If the water of the river of God is refused, then there is no life or healing that can come. Instead, those places will remain dry and barren. But everywhere where the river flows, it brings life. So you and I want to be that kind of a person that just opens our heart wide to God. We don't want to be a person that says, no, I don't need the river to touch me, God, I'm fine. You keep yourself, I'll figure it out. No, no, no. You're plugging other things in, trying to satisfy that void, right? You're plugging other things in, hoping that that'll be the answer. And God says, I already am the answer. And I'm sending the answer by way of an unmeasurable supply of the Holy Spirit. There is no need for any dead seas or marshes or swampy land. The life does not have to remain a desert. The river is flowing and the Spirit of God is calling each of us deeper. It's available to you. It's available to me. I came to know Christ on October 17th of 1978. And I can tell you today, 40 plus years later, I'm more desirous for the river of God to flow in my life right now than I've ever been. That I'm not satisfied. I've not tapped out. I'm not like, well, that's it. If you could all just be like me. I'm just saying, oh God, let me go under another time. Let the river come over me. Let the river take me. Let me get caught up in the current of what you're doing. And that river will flow through you and it will touch others around you, whether they be in the workplace or the classroom or in your family, in your friends, your neighborhood. That river will flow and bring an enormity of blessing to you and to everyone it touches. Let's bow our hearts together. Lord, I want to ask today that the river that I know comes from you and you alone. You are the source of every blessing. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. I thank you that there in you there is no darkness, no, none at all. And that we can trust you with our hearts and we can trust you with our lives. We can trust you with our families. We can trust you with our futures. I pray, Lord God, in this moment, each and every one of us would open the doors of our life to you once again and say, Lord, I don't want to try to satisfy anything in my life with anything other than you. Lord, I'm preaching to myself right now. Say it to your own heart. I'm opening my heart to you, Lord God. Let the river flow. Whether you're here in this sanctuary, whether you're watching on the live stream right now, let the river of God flow. And everywhere the river goes, it brings life. It brings satisfaction. It brings significance. It brings everything you're looking for. And let that flow in you and let it flow through you to the glory of God Almighty. you're here in this room or watching online, you say, God, I don't really even know you as the source. The Bible says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that you would know God and his son, Jesus. So just say to him right now, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to know you as the source of everything. And I ask that the river of God would flow in me, the river of life would flow through me, and that it would touch me and it would touch my family, or touch my children and my children's children. It would touch my relatives. It would move through me. Let me be a person known as a person of the river of God. If you're opening your heart to Jesus right now for the first time, or maybe you've been like one of those miry places and you've closed off the water to a certain area, I'm telling you, there's healing for your addictions. There's freedom for your bondages. There's the chains can fall off today in the river of God. There's healing for your body in the river. Receive it right now. Say, God, I'm in your presence. Heal my physical ailments. Touch me in every way, spirit, soul, and body, in the beautiful name of Jesus. I'm going to invite you to stand with me here in the room. And let's just lift our hands and our hearts toward the Lord together. Would you do that? Would you just begin right now to say, God, Jim's been talking about this river, and I want the river to touch me new. I want the river to touch me again. I want the river to flow through me. I want more of you, Jesus. More of you, more of you, more of you. More of you, Lord, more of you. Come on, let the river flow right now through you. Let the river of God touch every part of your life right now. Say, God, every aspect of my life, just envision yourself. Say, I'm getting out of the ankle deep water. I'm going past the knees, Lord. I'm going past the waist. God, I just want to go in the current with you. Take me where you want to take me. Do what you want to do with me. Live your life through me for your glory, Lord God.
Holy Spirit.
Now, would you just begin to lift your voice loud enough to hear yourself pray and loud enough to hear yourself call on God? Come on, don't be embarrassed of it. Just say, Lord, I'm blessing you. I'm calling out on your name. I'm reaching toward you. I'm reaching for the river, Lord God. Let it come from your presence. Let it permeate my life. Let me be different from this place forward. God, touch every dead area of my life. Anything that is dead, let it come to life as the river flows. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that bondages are being broken off men and women today. I thank you that freedom is being found in your house today. I thank you that we are in your presence, Lord. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. I thank you for restoring joy to that brokenhearted one, to that grieving soul. Lord, in Jesus' name, I speak your joy once again, the joy of your salvation over their life. In Jesus' name, let your peace come that passes all understanding. Every blessing we need is found in the river of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me.
Put your hands together and bless him right now. Bless him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's always great when the pastor starts in a key that isn't the right key. Let's bless Lori and let's sing it together with this music together. Amen.
me.
Your goodness is running after, running after me. My life lay down, but surrender now. I give you everything.
Come on, don't get the river right now.
Your goodness is running after, running after me. I'm alive, you're everything.
Amen. Come on, just lift your hands and say it with me.
All my life in love and forevermore. Every breath that I'm in now, I will see of the goodness of God.
To our God, who can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think, by the power that works in us. Through the life and the strength of His Holy Spirit, the supply of God in our lives, I speak over you and let the river not just touch you today, but let it flow to you and through you, and let it minister to multitudes of people as you go forth from this place. I bless you with the river of God, His presence, who said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. The one who said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I release you to the blessing of the Lord to be the river in this world and to carry His presence as you go from this place. I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 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 You were loving each other so well earlier. We want you to be able to do that. You don't have to run out. You can stay and meet someone. As you're leaving, sign up for a PI meeting. Sign up for, they start this week. There's a couple of evening meetings, and you can come and join us. We're going to have a wonderful time together. Make sure you stop at the table and do that before you go. We're going to release you to the blessing of the Lord. Smile at somebody and say, it was good to be in God's house today. Amen. We love you and appreciate you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.